morning, I would like to direct your attention to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 9. What is thy more than another's life? O thou, there is no sin. What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is the most fine gold. Verse 14. His hands are as gold rings set with a bell. Verse 15. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His mouth is most weak. Yea, he is altogether lovely. The United States has been off the gold standard for many, many years. But God has a gold standard, and he has never been off the gold standard. That gold standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the beloved of whom the writer here speaks. He's the chiefest of 10,000. He's the altogether lovely one. His head is of the most fine gold, perfect in his wisdom. His hands are as gold rings, perfect in his form. His feet, gold. Legs set upon sockets of fine gold. His walk, perfect in his walk. When we think of him in his wisdom, we remember what we read in the Word of God. In him, in Christ, are in all the flesh wisdom and knowledge. There is nothing outside of Christ for the believer. Christ is all and in all. When we think of his power is limitless. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ, who strengthens me with love. We think of those feet. He went about doing good. Those feet never rested until they came to the cross. He was obedient unto death. The scripture says, even the death on the cross. When the apostle addresses the believers at home, he says, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. God has set Christ alone before our hearts. And it's an occupation with Christ that will keep us healthy in God. Isaac Watts wrote, join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that mortals ever knew or angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak it. Too mean to set the Savior for. And so the Word of God calls our attention to the person and work of Christ. The glory of God is seen in the face or in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have, first of all, emphasized the necessity for sound doctrine, because if we have incorrect teaching of Christ, then we will have incorrect living. We will not be the healthy Christians that we should be. All revolves around the person of Christ. The Lord Jesus himself suggested that when he raised this question to those of his day. He said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? The failure to recognize who Christ is, God manifests Christ, has led to all kinds of error. Perhaps no one said it better than John Newton when he wrote, "What thinketh Christ is a test that rivals his faith and his deed. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears to your view, as he is beloved, so God is disposed as to you, and mercy at last is your lot. Some think of a creature to be a man or an angel at most, but they have not feelings like me, nor know themselves wretched at all. So guilty, so helpless am I. I durst not confide in his blood, nor on his protection rely, unless I'm sure he's lost." Meaning that the early disciples, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' gospel. And their doctrine had to do with the person and work of Christ. And that's the starting point, and that's the continuing point in the Christian experience. For the Christian life is Christ. For me to live, the apostle says, this point. There's no other foundation for a healthy person, a healthy Christian, for other foundations in no man that is laid will be Jesus Christ. So we build upon the revelation of God in Christ. And now is Christ revealed to us in Scripture. He's revealed to us in wisdom. He's revealed to us in power. And is revealed to us as well. We believe God is one. And in him, there is no darkness at all. John tells us of the Lord Jesus, he's the true light. The light of every man that cometh into the world. He himself testified, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What good is all human wisdom compared to the wisdom revealed in Christ? Paul sort of mocking it says, as he writes concerning human wisdom, he says, the world, you can write over this, all earthly instances, in spite of all the folks of knowledge, the world, by its wisdom, knew not God. Praise God. You would want to change the revealed God here. Yeah. I am the light, not a light. I am the light of the world. And in him, there is no darkness at all. God is light. Himself says, I am the light. And he that has the Son hath the light, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the light. It's just as simple as that. It said, if you don't have Christ, you're living if you do that. He is half the Son of life. And then God is love. That's a wonderful thing. That God has revealed his heart to us in the person of his Son. It might perceive you the love of God that he laid down his life for us. In the scripture says. Once the Christian was in the dark and picked and segregation sin, but he is swallowed out of into the Father. Now we have life. Not only do we have life, but we have life. It says, he that believeth on the Son, he said this in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, hear my words, believe in him, and then he hath everlasting life. So much of it doesn't pass out of death into life. Not only have life, but we have life as well. You know, it's a God in the blessing of his love. Jesus, having loved his own within the world, he loved them unto the end. But not only do we have his love to us, but we have his love through us. The Lord says in John 17 that he wants the world to know that thou hast loved him as thou hast loved me. And then he goes on to say that the love with thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. marvelous truth. That's not a horrible truth of God. Look what good of all. We have the capacity to love even as we love. We have an illustration of this but the Lord's glory suggested in the passage that I read. His head suggests wisdom, and with the soul to hold in the head. Put it in a direction from the head. Now, there are all kinds of voices thrown to us in the world, but if we're going to be healthy, what's up the world? That's going to be the deciding factor in our lives. We live in a world with all kinds of voices calling to us. We need to take time to hear His voice and say, as the Apostle Paul would say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Francis really have a goal and expressed it so well in her letter for a master. And I said the dearest waiting for thy gracious voice. Longing for the voice of dearest master, let it now be heard. His head suggests wisdom, his hands, his work. He went about doing good. His entire life. That was the characteristic of the Lord Jesus' life. And then his feet. They carried him all the way to the cross. He was singing Sunday school. All the way to Calvary. Never stopped. But it was time when time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He had a perfect right to go back to heaven. And by virtue of the life that he lived. He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Nothing to this cause. Shame I unto this hour. He was a bootlegger of death. He was a death of the cross. And said he, therefore does my Father love me. He comes, I lay down my life. And she, he had to look willing, to die. And I said that a soul from where he might live. And the path of the cross. He was willing to say, all the sins in my life to forgive. We have a recognition of the glory of our Lord Jesus suggested in those wise men that came from the east. And they brought good gifts. They brought gold. And that will speak to us of the glory of his wisdom. They recognize the divine glory. The Lord Frank Incense that spoke of his life without here. And the fruit devotion to God, his life work. All going up to God as a sweet smelling tree. They brought myrrh, that bitter myrrh that speaks of the suffering, sacrificial love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even thinking of the person and work of Christ, but in contrast to that, think of man for me. Yes, made in the image of God, made to represent God, but how badly man has misrepresented God, because man is in rebellion from God, and so the Word of God doesn't speak of him as being like God, it speaks of him as being ungodly. The marvelous wonder of it all, that God saw us in our need. Scripture says, when we were yet without Christ died for the unborn us. Those are not like him at all. God is light, but man is dark, he's in the dark. God is light, but man is dead. He trespasses and is sin by nature. And God is love, but man is hateful. That's what characterizes the natural man. Titus believed that we were hateful of hating one another. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appears. We have a wonderful illustration of what man is. Not nature in it. A simple title. Paul's writing to his fellow servant Titus says, the creatures are always liars. Well, lying is a sin against life. He says there, lazy glut. That's a sin against life that man is made for work. God himself worked. That's all the work it is that you and I work. Work was not something that was given after sin came into the world. That work was given before sin ever entered the world. Man was put in the garden to dress it and to keep it. He had a work to do. God always elevates work. But they were lazy gluttons, eating their faces and doing nothing else. That's sin against life. And another evil group praying in one another. Instead of praying for one another, they were praying on one another. Hatred. Taking advantage of the fellow man. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the life. And I think it's so beautifully illustrated for us in Scripture. John's Gospel, 7 sign miracles that the Lord Jesus performed. The first one was at a marriage. The last was at a grave sign. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. He first of all said to those that stood by, roll away the stone, they could do that. So he let them do it. After the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, loose him and let him go. He could do that. They couldn't give him life. All he wanted to give life. And the life giver said, Lazarus, come forth. There was a napkin about his eye. He couldn't see. He didn't have any light. Even though he had light, he didn't have any light to see. And his hands were bound. He couldn't work. And his feet were bound. He couldn't walk. And that's what happened. First of all, he sees light. You know, you don't see it. And they can't work as they should work. They're still bound by the old grave rule. By those sins that marked them before they came to Christ. They've still got some of those old sinful habits. Clinging to them. Now the Lord has given us a job. As we share the word with one another, loose them and let him go. Get rid of those napkin that blinds the eyes. Get rid of that that blinds the hands from working. As we should work for God, and get rid of those arms that are around the feet that keep us from walking for God. We have pretty much the same idea in the apostolic instruction in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verses 17 and following. This is what Paul says. Put away your eyes. That's a negative. It used to be popular, a song years ago that was sung by, sung by Ben Crosby. And it went something like this. You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with the thing to drink. Do any of you remember that? You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with the thing to drink. So the scripture teaches that. You've got to eliminate the negative. Put away lies. So lying is a sin against life. It's a sin against truth. So let's put it away. Lying is no place, whatever, in the person's life. We're not to lie one to another. It's so easy we often don't think of these little white lies and so forth, but we're to put away lies. There's no part of it. Teach every man the truth to his neighbor. It's not enough to eliminate the negative, you've got to accentuate the positive. Take the truth from your neighbor. All we got told this is Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. In other words, we have a responsibility to share the truth of God in one man. As we meet together in Christian fellowship, in our conversation, we should preach. We encourage one another and learn that law. And then it says, in Ephesians 4, verse 28, letting that soul feel the Lord. Are you stealing time from your employer, pooping off on the job? There's a lot of ways you can steal, even look over your next door neighbor in your classroom and can't see something that you're listening to your answer. And there's that. That's the answer. There's all kinds of stealing. And it says, let in the soul steal no more. But rather, that's the next deposit. Rather, let him labor, working with his hand, the things which is good that he may have his gift in the need. In other words, the incentive for making more is not only that we could have to live higher, but that we could give higher. That's what he said. Not in order that we could live from, you know, way up here in the stratosphere. Let him labor, working with his hands, saying what he said, that he may have to give at the end of the week. Now the Bible says, God loves the cheerful gift. And the reason he loves the cheerful gift is he's a cheerful gift. Remember what it says in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, charge them of the riches of the world, that they trust not in uncertain riches that God has given us in a negative way. Remember that? That's what it says. But God has given us richly all things to make us miserable. Remember that? God gives us richly all things to make us miserable. And all thy mercies, all my lies and souls, transported us to be unlocked and wonder, love and pray. 10,000 treasures yet. I really thank you for a most elusive and thankful God that faith God gives to you. And then God blesses us in a pure way or a spiritual way. The things that he gives us is from his word. I remember Brother Phil McCartney saying to me one time years ago, said, Brother, all he said, if the Lord gives you something good from his word, give it away as quick as you can, and then give you something better than something other. You know, and I think it was John Wesley who said, what I gave I have, but what I kept I lost. The more we give away the fruit of God that we have received from others over the years, and that we receive from our own meditation, as we pass it on, we discover the wonderful thing before we give away. Better than we keep it. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 32, it says, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ has forgiven you. Peter asked the Lord, remember in Matthew 18, Lord, how often I forgive my brother? How often I show my love to him and forgive him? Seven times, that sounds like a decent number. And the Lord said 70 times. Rather than anyone on to tell about his king. That a servant he worked for him, and a servant owed him 10,000 talents. Each talent is his worth 6,000 silver denarius, silver coin. And this man who had this great debt that he owed was given by his Lord. And then he went out. And there was a man who owed him 100 denarii, silver coins. And the going wage in that day was a penny a day, one silver coin a day for the work. He could have paid that debt off after 100 days if he had taken all the coins and paid. But one man know the death. And I think I stayed out a long time. It was something like 350,000 years or something before you paid off at any of it. In other words, you had a death. It was a good thing. And that was the situation we had. You had a death that probably would be anything. And Jesus paid all through my life. When he left the prison, and he walked his right as well. And it will be used as a close lady. He's given a cross. He's going to take our brother by the throat. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to forgive you. Oh, there was such a deep, kind, tender heart, forgiving one of them. Even as, just take those words and underline that. Even as, even as, even as God was right there. Forgiven you. Well, God's purpose, what is it? God's purpose. God's purpose in the present is that we should in all things do everything we do for the glory of God. That is that we should be reflected on the Lord Jesus. God is light, and it was no God's law. We should walk as children of light. God is light. Work. We should exhibit that in our life. For me to live is Christ, the desire of our heart, should be that the life of the Lord Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal life. That others see us, may see the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in us. We know that Christ is in us. Christ is in you. The hope of glory. Or else you're not a Christian. If any man has not the Spirit of God, the Word of God says he is none of his. God has just said before us one object of faith. It's the Lord Jesus. Who's the object of our faith? And there are many things that can hinder us. Many things that can get our eyes off Him. But our attitude should be that of the hymn writer who wrote, "Nothing but Christ as long as we pray." The gift on Christ, God's living bread, fast at hand and feet well shod, nothing but flesh. The Christ of God. Nothing saves Him in all our ways, giving the theme for super faith. Our whole resource along the way. Nothing but Christ. Christ of God. Everything lost in the life. Taking the cross wherever. Showing to all that want to be brought. Nothing but Christ, the Christ of God. The world does not need any divine. The world needs Christ. And God is using you and me as vehicles, good vehicles, of making the Lord Jesus Christ known to the world. Years ago, there was a Christian businessman who wrote a little book. Book that was called, Chevrolet that wanted to be a Cadillac. And in it, he told, it was a fictitious story, it was an allegory. He told about this 25-year-old gentleman that wanted to be a Cadillac. And the reason he wanted to be a Cadillac, this Chevrolet was very unusual because it had the ability to talk. Many Chevrolets had the ability to talk, this one could talk. And this owner was riding down the street in his Chevrolet one. And the Chevrolet said, what's that even there? A couple blocks down the street. Oh, he said, you don't know? Okay. He said, that's a Cadillac with a machine. And the fellow riding in the back seat is a pastor. Really? The pastor of the United States riding that Cadillac? Yes. I want to be a Cadillac. Yeah. The 25-year-old Chevrolet Jackson. I want this Cadillac. Oh, he only thought he was sort of pacified. His Chevrolet just had a Cadillac paint job put on it. And still, the 25-year-old Chevrolet. And then he got his builder reworked. It still hung his top like the 25-year-old. Well, one day he took the whole thing and sent it to someplace in New Jersey. Ended up in a junkyard and they shipped it to Detroit through some magical Jesus came off the assembly line that he called the family Cadillac, Chevrolet, transformed the Cadillac. Of course, the writer says more or less it was love. He said it is noble. That God can take a 25-year-old, 50-year-old, 65-year-old sinner, make him a new creation in Christ Jesus. And God, the Holy Spirit, makes Christ real in that person's life. God in heaven has a treasure that you have in town of town, at the beach of Bill's pleasure, Christ the Son, who loveth well. God, I be on earth a pleasure, and the beach of Christ in town. Deep, unfathomable pleasure, Christ is even with thankful. Oh, to be but empty and lowly, being unnoticed and unknown. And to God, a mental holier, filled with Christ, like the Lord. Not of earth is love, Lord. Not of self, light of him. Telling forth his wondrous story, empty. He filled with him. That the glory of his light that he did have, that we may shine as light and as awesome. The world is in dark. No, all the world needs light. And the Lord said, let your light so shine, that men may see your good work and glorify your Father. Not to call attention to you, call attention to them. The glory of his light is enough. For so often, we're sitting in a place across them. Remember, the Lord has just instituted your remembrance. He's taken a loaf of bread and said, this is my body, which is given to you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is dead to me. The next couple of verses of Luke chapter 22, I think it is, Luke the disciples are having an argument. What were they arguing about? Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest? Peter, I'm going to be the greatest. James, I'm going to be the greatest. John, I'm going to be the greatest. And all four. And then the Lord told him this, and I'm just going to paraphrase it a little bit. The Lord said, now, if you go out with the rest, if I am needed. And the waiter comes and he waits on him, he serves you the meal. Now, who is the greatest? The one that serves the meal, the waiter, or the man who is paying for the meal, sitting down there comfortably at the table, and he's paying for the who's the greatest? And he didn't let them answer the question, he answered the question. He said, the one who's the greatest is the one that's paying for the meal, sitting comfortably at the table, not the greatest. And then he said, I'm the servant of the table. I'm among you. I have one that serves. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. All of us, I'm sure, as Christians, have a desire in our hearts. We want to be like the Savior. Well, how are we going to be right here? How are we going to be healthy as we should be? There's only one way. Max Wright, a Hebrew Christian, taught at Moody Bible Church for years, wrote this in his book called The Sweet Thing of the World, and I never forgot it. Said, if I must be wise, this is your word. I will become your word. If I must be wise with myself, he said, I will become self. If I must be wise with Christ, I will become Christ-like. It all depends. We want to become like him. He says, well, you want to get acquainted with Jesus. I'll tell you just where you can find me. You won't find me in the places in the world that you might think you might. You want to find certain centers, that's right. Yeah, they would satisfy me. It was on his own knees. So we need to get our eyes off of the Lord and get our eyes on the presence of this Lord. Lose our vision of the Savior. On the children of Israel were journeying in the Sabbath, you know, they left Egypt. They got over there in the middle of the wilderness and they got infected. You know, it wasn't really so fast. They got there at the place. It really wasn't so fast. He had a pretty nice. And they started thinking about the leek and the onions and the melon and the garlic and the cucumbers and all those nice things that they had to eat back in Egypt. Boy, it wasn't so fast. It was good eating back there. The Lord had told us he was looking at the land of Canaan. He said, we've got some nice things there. He said, we've got dates, pomegranate, and grapes, and soap, all these things. But they left it after the things of Egypt. All those things that were needed to be sanctified with the world, all grew on the ground, all under the ground, yet the grovel and the dirt together. And the fruits of Canaan were all from trees. You had to reach up together. And go up to the vessel of Thursday. It's not down here. It's up there. Isn't he there? He is risen with Christ. Put those things that the Father of Christ says on the right hand of God. And your dies and your life is His in Christ in God. You know, the portrait of the great man of the Bible, they got a vision of the glory of God. And it was the vision of the glory of God before them, the glory of that life, the glory of that life, and the glory of that love that transformed their life. It was that that transformed Abraham's life. The God of glory appeared unto our Father Abraham. That's it. And you remember Stephen as he lay down, he said, I thought, I see Jesus. If you saw the glory of God, Jesus at the right hand of God. It was at the day of the comfort of Christ. You know, we face death. Not present of the occupation of Christ. Because it has been occupied with Christ and we will be helped. God is using our occupation of Christ to transform our lives more and more like His Christ. We all, we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all are an unveiled face, beholding in the glory of the Lord. We are being changed into the same image from glory to glory. None of us are ever going to align in this world. Paul says, I follow after that, for which I've been happy at it, on Jesus Christ. Not as though I had already been. In this life, it's the pursuit. It's the pursuit. That part versus other person. Does not be taken from. But the day is coming. And God's perspective is going to both good people killed. Now we just kill the thought, God loves. It does not yet appear we shall be one we know. We know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. He is bringing many thoughts. The news broadcaster, and every once in a while, he will tell some story. I haven't heard it in recent years. His name is Paul Harvey. And then he said, now for the rest of the story, he will tell you something that you didn't know about some person. Well, I don't know about you, fellow believers, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the story. I know I told them to turn out, and that's a wonderfully encouraging thing. But when I was a young boy, I used to read a lot of books. I was a great reader, and a lot of these, you know, not all great stories, but a lot of like detective stories, stuff like that. And I used to cheat when I read lots of times. I would read the last chapter first, And I knew I was all going to turn out. So they went to me. Yeah, they could talk all night. You crazy that this one got at you, but I knew it all coming out of there. Yeah. And you know, the wonderful thing is that we all know how to come out of here. The God of all glory has called us with eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And even the things which we think are wooden things are things that God is using to make Christ more real to us. And ultimately, we'll be talking about sharing the glory with him in a greater way than we would ever. Otherwise. Two verses were favorite verses by son David, and by the way, I brought a number of those books along with me out here on the table. You can help yourself at three. Our middle son, we have five boys and one girl. Our middle son went to the Lord in 1990 from Hodgson's disease. And those two favorite verses that he wrote to me just a few days before he died, and also he wrote the assembly. And use those same two verses. And we have hanging on our wall at home a picture of our son, 29 years in the future, 9 days beyond 29, when he went to the war. And on one side is one verse, and the other side is the other. And one verse says this: "This life but for a moment. Worship for us a far more beauty and eternal way of glory, while we look not at the things which are hidden, but at the things which are not hidden, the things which are hidden in that way, and the things which are not hidden are eternal." And then this verse: "Therefore, it's the last verse of that great hope chapter. When we read about the Lord Jesus coming, all those who hear are going to be changed in the hope to be like him." Talk about a help. Now we have a chapter of Jesus. With every mark and mark, change, and sin that belong to us. But therefore, my little brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. And since we know that we're going to be with him and like him, now we're the children of God, but not yet a field of challenge. Well, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be right. So we shall be happy. Surely that thought of that tremendous day, we shall all be dead in a moment. The knowledge of that should inspire us in view of that day to be more and more like that while we wait. I love that hymn written by Charles Wesley. "Love divine, all praise is God. Joy of heaven to earth and down. Blessed are thy rich Israel and all thy faithful virtues found. Praise thee, ye children, that will serve the earth and above. Praise thee, Savior, without thee. Glory in thy dying name. First fruit of thy new creation, faithful, holy, made it joyful in thy full salvation, more and more before me." What a wonderful day. Great time. Child of God. All I know and I love it all. And I will be there with glory to you all right. For my glory, like you, and I'll just approve of all.